It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. Listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. We're all countryed up with a twist. Boy, I don't know about where you were, but the 2 to 4 inches that we were supposed to get on Thursday night and Friday turned into 11 on my deck.
Is that what you got?
Yeah, I put a tape measure to it that morning before I started cleaning it up. Wasn't that much on the driveway, so it must like melted a little bit
sure.
when it hit. But everything on the deck and all I had a table on my deck and had 11 inches of snow.
That's the
on
best
it.
Place to measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the smokiest show on the radio. And we are going to bring it to you today because we're going to talk a little spices, a little sauces, and probably a lot of marinades, which we tend to neglect because we're just neglective people.
Yeah.
Neglectful. Anyway, I wanted to chat just a second. How was your week, Jop?
You know, my week was good. I had since the last time I talked to you guys, I had that event that where I cooked the moose. Meat, and I was pleasantly surprised. Of course, I'd never cooked moose. It was ground,
yep.
right? So I made it into sliders.
Pretty lean.
Yep. And so what I did is I brought a bottle of Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO.
Perfect.
And perfect. As opposed to doing them on the grill, because I was a little worried,
right.
one, I was using somebody else's grill, but two, I was worried they'd fall through the grates.
Or stick.
Yeah, right. So I brought the griddle, and I put a liberal amount of that olive oil on there and let it get hot. And I have a little laser thermometer now for the griddle. Since I bought that
sure.
Blackstone, I
sure.
wanted to know how hot I was cooking.
Yep.
So that thing was at 400 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And I put that, the first burger on was for me. Okay.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
I had never cooked it before, and I'm
yeah.
I can't.
Not only that,
yeah.
by then you're freaking hungry. Right. You want to get something to eat while yeah. you watch these guys slather
right.
everything. Down.
But no, they hadn't eaten yet. I was getting ready to cook them, you know, but that was the thing. I was like, I've never cooked this. But it turned out great. Just seasoned it with like some Montreal steak seasoning. But that olive oil on there gave it enough fat that it didn't dry out. And but I had 5 pounds. There's 25 people at the party. I had 5 pounds of moose and 5 pounds of ground beef. Because if the moose was a flop, I had to feed them something, right? So I tell you what, they ate every ounce of moose we had.
Of course they did.
And about half of the ground beef was left. And it was fantastic. And I was surprised. It was very dark red.
Moose beats cow.
Right.
1-0.
Right. Exactly. But it was good. We did a bar. So I had like 12, 14 different condiments, everything from muffalata, which is really, you know, like olives and ground
yep.
vegetables,
yep.
All the
it's
way
a,
to
it's
your
an tradition- it's an Italian salsa sort of.
Yeah, right. But it's olive based. Yeah.
yeah. And it's like a ensalada or anyway. Yeah.
Giardino
that's cool.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't ever say that word.
but
well, so anyway,
awesome.
But that Roma tomatoes, I just did.
A little blue cheese maybe,
yep,
a little gorgonzola
yep.
or something,
yeah,
and,
yep,
and some
exactly.
sliced, yeah.
Yeah, I put sliced
well,
cheese
that
on
that had
all
to
them.
Be just gorgeous. Did you take lots of pictures?
Well, you know what? I didn't take any pictures because
oh,
it was,
that's shocking.
Well, it was snowing sideways while I was grilling outside. I was just
where
trying
was
to
your
get
bar set up? Outside?
Yeah, everything. Well, no, though. The bar was set up inside on the Holmes Island. Beautiful.
Our
home.
Listeners would love to see that.
Yeah, right. But I was too busy cooking.
You didn't bring your lovely wife to take
no,
pictures?
No, this one went solo. I went solo.
Dudes
on this
only.
One. Right. No, there was what it was. It was a company that was this was a reward party for some of their salesmen.
Right.
So I was there to cook them. And but
so,
I will
so,
tell you the hit of the show when you mentioned my wife, it made me think of it. She makes a caramel apple cobbler.
Oh, how'd that turn
oh,
out?
Oh, man.
They loved
They're,
it?
Oh, yeah. And big scoop of, you know, French vanilla ice cream on that. And we put it in the oven. When I got there, it was cooked. Put it in the oven at 170, so it came up to temperature when we served it at the end of the meal. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, you're going to have a hard time believing this, but I put my bride on an airplane this morning, and she's flying to Florida while I stay up here and shovel. some of our kids are meeting up. They got a place in Naples, and they're meeting up for the week. And so she's going to go down there and have fun with the grandkids. And this is smart of the kids. See, they actually paid for her ticket to induce her, like it would take that. But they now have a built-in babysitter. so they can go out at night and have fun. She can stay at home with the kids. Hey, what's good for the goose is good. We did our parents all the time. So this is payback time.
Right.
So I'll just be up here working and slogging away.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
She got it figured out. Yep. But in her defense, she has been working around the clock to get all her jobs knocked out before she leaves because she's very diligent about that. And she's got a lot of attorneys counting on transcripts, and that's what she does.
Yep.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about spices, and I've gotten some very cool spice packets. You know how many people there are making spices out there.
Yeah, everybody always asks us, why don't you guys come out with your own line of rubs or spices or whatever? And we're like, man, one, there's so many good ones out there already.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And two, it's competitive.
So,
right?
So to make it with spices, I mean, even that guy that we had on recently, you know, I mean, good luck because there's just, what are you going to try and get into Meijer? No, he got into Meijer, but good luck at Meijer because they chew people up and spit them out
in
no time at all.
Have you walked down the spice aisle at Meijer? There's only about 1,000 choices.
So my point is, you know, don't worry about necessarily finding the right one if you get lost in the sea of it because there's a couple cool things you can do to make a nice gift. And that's the cool thing about spices. If you're going to make them, you don't have to make them for your own consumption. You can go buy the bulk stuff, Head Country or anything like that, rub some ass. Any of that stuff is great, right? But if you want a special gift for somebody, here's a really easy thing to do. Get some Himalayan sea salt. Get the big chunky stuff. And when you fire up your smoker next time, get a giant cookie sheet or some glass pans or something you don't mind getting smoky. And lay that salt out over there and set your smoker real slow and cold and smoky. And put a bunch of salt in there. About every 20 minutes, get in there and stir it up. And after about an hour and a half, about an hour, you'll have some beautiful smoke-infused salt. And that friend of yours that doesn't have a smoker, now you can hand him some salt for his grinder. And you could even buy him another grinder, you know, one for smoky salt.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you throw a little, now if you want to really spice it up, take that salt and put some coarse black pepper with it and maybe some dried garlic chunks. And
minced
instead
garlic,
of,
kind of
instead of just the powder, but the powder will work too, and maybe some dried onion. And make your blend and smoke that whole thing. And then give them that and let them season in the when you're cooking inside and you're doing those moose burgers inside on a flat grill with no smoke. You put that on there. I'm telling you.
Chicken breast would be
it's
amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And my daughter-in-law bought me a blend she found up north. And it's made in Manistee or something. I got to give those
there
guys
you go.
A shout out.
Local guy trying to get in the spice business.
And I'm telling you, this stuff of his dialed in. It's spot on perfect. I just put a little bit in my hand and took a taste of it and said, oh my gosh, I'm on the grill right now.
Yep.
So wonderful gift to give to somebody. You want to do it upright. You get them a nice bag. You fill up a brand new grinder and make it a cool grinder, you know, that is going to look different from everything else he's got that looks, you know, like something the grilling guy would do. And he'll never forget that gift, or she will never forget that gift.
Just remember to get the refillable grinder because you're going to want to fill it up and make it again when you've used it all.
Well, if you're buying an empty grinder, it's probably refillable.
You're right. But
don't buy the plastic one with salt.
Right, yeah, not going to work. You can't open it and refill it. Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
But, dude, I thought we'd revisit some cool marinades that we haven't touched on in a long time, and I dug up some new ones that were intriguing, and Chef Andy's going to come on halfway through the show. He's always a delight.
Yeah, he is, and just a wealth of knowledge. We've had his dad on several times, who's also a chef and an educator, and Andy grew up in a business, so to speak, so he's a wealth of knowledge. But so coming up next, we're going to talk about a few marinades, what's in a marinade, how it works, why you want to use one rather than a sauce on top. So,
you know, thinking of Andy, and you've mentioned his dad, I got to throw this in. He was actually bred to be a chef.
Yeah, right. Okay. And he makes good bread.
Yes.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131 at exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, country with a twist, man. Thanks for tuning in. We're all over Michigan. Got a little snow at the end of the week, but spring is on the way. Before we got that snow, there were little crocuses up in my wife's garden, and they'd already started to bloom. And it's like, psych, gotcha. but anyway, so I think it's around the corner. And there's a lot of grilling to be done.
Well,
in these
last weekend, L.A. got the big snowstorm.
Right, yeah.
There's going to be some dead palm leaves laying around there.
Yeah.
So years ago, I was on a train coming back from the hot tub show in Atlantic City, and I was taking the train back to Philly because I always flew into Philly. And I sat with this guy that was at the show, and I saw him all week. He was only a few booths down from me, but we never talked, but finally, we chatted it up on the train. Come to find out, he was from Argentina. And he actually lived in Portland, worked for one of the companies I was looking at. And we got into a conversation, of course, about meat and grilling. And he started, I guess, talking about chimichurri.
Pardon me, sir? Are we on the chimichurri choo-choo? Is that what you were doing?
Pardon me, boy. God, you're weird. Anyway, we were on the chimichurri choo-choo, Randy. Yes, we were heading to Philly, and a little squirrel there.
Yeah, right. It just occurred to me. Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for that. This guy was an absolute foodie. He was so, I guess, passionate in his description of how he does chimichurri, that he got me. He sold me. He closed the deal before we hit Philly. And I said, that's it. I want you on my show. And we had him on the show. If you look at the Grilling Guys and you put in chimichurri, you'll probably see his name referenced to it. That was got to be 5 years ago. So what chimichurri is, it's from South America, mostly Argentina, I believe, but I think they also do it in Venezuela and different places. So here's what it is. It's a marinade, and I urge you to make twice as much as this recipe calls for because you're going to have some uses for it when you're done making that meat. But it's got sesame seeds, paprika. We use Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO, kosher salt, fresh ground black pepper, and then a couple cloves of garlic, and 2 cups of finely chopped parsley, and a cup maybe of finely chopped cilantro. I like a lot of cilantro. You could do it all cilantro if you really like cilantro. Some people don't like parsley. Some don't like cilantro. So this thing also has red wine vinegar and a little bit of agave. And then you can also throw in some beef or chicken broth, depending on which meat you're going to marinate. Now, when we did it, we talked about tri-tip. And on our website, I think I listed as being tri-tip, right? And down there, they do it with beef. And it's, you marinate your meat for about 12 hours in this. And like I said, save some of it because you're going to want to, when you, I'm going to say, let's do a tri-tip. So with a tri-tip, We're going to smoke it to 135 in the middle, which means the tips will be 150, 155 overcooked. But you're going to slice that on a bias, on an angle, against the grain, and then you're going to lay it out over your platter, and you take this beautiful slurry that you put together. Oh, I also didn't mention that you want to put that whole thing in your bullet or your blender before you use it. And you end up with this green choppy marinade, but you want to ladle that over that meat. Once you get it all spread out beautifully on your platter, you just put that over that red meat nicely. Dude, I'm telling you, it is gorgeous because you've got just a wonderful array of colors. But beyond that, the flavor, it's just very different. You know what I'm saying, Jop? You with me?
I am with you. I was just looking on the website while you were reciting that. Apparently, we did this in 2017, 2018, and 2020.
Okay.
So, but the 17 was where the gentleman was that you referenced. So.
Yeah. And
so it's
great interview. You can go back to look at thegrillingguys.com, and you can go up in the search bar and put in chimichurri tri-tip, and you can actually listen to that interview with him because we keep everything. We're like the NSA here.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Conrad is on top of it.
So you're going to marinate a tri-tip, and marinating is always a wet solution. Generally, you can. I don't call marinating with a dry seasoning.
But they
seasoning.
Do. You know some people have started that. Yeah, and do two tri-tips or four. Don't do one.
So where I was going is so you put that marinade together. Do you use and you pull it in a bullet to get everything mixed up, chopped up, and ready to go? Do you use it immediately? Do you let the flavors come together? That's question one. And question two is, do I submerge the meat in it? Do I just rub it on the top and let it set?
Oh no, you soak it. You take a big Ziploc bag,
okay,
and you throw two or three tri-tips in there. And you're going to have to use a blender because I don't think all this will fit in a bullet in most cases.
Yeah, you got 3/4 cup of oil in this thing and a quarter cup of red wine vinegar.
And a cup of chicken broth or beef broth.
Right.
So either way, then get a big Ziploc bag, throw your chunks of protein in there. It's good for chicken, too. I think you could do it with anything, to be honest with you. Tofu, you like grilling tofu.
Love it, man. You could. Outgrew that, I think, maybe, but that, at one time, it was a good deal. Yeah. So how long do I leave the so let's go with the tri-tip.
12 hours.
I leave it in there.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of acid in there. You've got that red wine vinegar, and you could even do it for 2 or 3 hours, and you'd be fine. 12 max. So if you can do it for 3 hours on your countertop, it's going to be awesome.
Right. So
it's beef on your countertop.
Right. And chicken, you probably want to keep cold, but the beef isn't going to hurt it doing it warm on the countertop.
It's actually better.
If you're going to cook it.
Better way to marinate that. As that muscle relaxes and expands, it allows more marinade in. Chicken, you're probably going to want to go 12 hours because that stuff does not want to marinate.
Right. So when I take it out of the marinade, I leave it wet as it comes out. I don't rinse it. I don't do anything like that.
Throw
it
right on
straight
grill.
To the grill.
Right on the grill on the smoker.
Right.
See, the tri-tip, you're going to smoke.
Okay.
I mean, you can grill it if you don't have a smoker, but you should at least offset grill it. I would never, ever tell anybody to grill a tri-tip because what you'll have is dry ends and a raw center.
Yeah.
It's a big muscle.
Yeah, it's built kind of like a...
Kind of like you.
A wedge. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from my waist to my shoulders, man. Yeah, I had that physique never. But anyway, you get the picture, right? So chimichurri marinade is one that is not terribly common, but I think that...
No, it's not common at all.
You'll like the flavor profile if you take the time to do it.
Unless you're like Big Paulie and you did some time in Argentina.
Right.
Then, you know, you probably ate it with the president.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
While shooting Uzis.
Yeah.
We heard that story years ago.
Yeah.
And he was with a 3-letter agency, I'm sure. He says no.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found one last night I have not tried, but just looking at these ingredients, I said, my gosh, I have to try that one because I have everything I need. And I'm getting the sign that we might be out of time. Is that correct, Mr. Producer?
It is.
Yeah.
So it is. So what? And that was going to be the spiced yogurt marinade.
We'll do that
in the next segment after Chef Andy. Maybe we'll finish up with that. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Up next, Chef Andy. You're not going to want to miss him. He's a second generation foodie. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking spices, sauces, marinades, and we've covered a couple of them, but guess what? Barbecue Bob, we got somebody on the grilling line right now that might know more about this than I do, I'm sure.
That's right. He's the newest member of our board of directors, Chef Andy from Four Chefs. How are you, son?
Doing well. Yourself, Dad?
Hey, we're doing great, and we're just talking marinades and spices and rubs, and I had to reach out to you this week and say, this is what we're doing. You tend to be a really good marinade guy. And I thought, man, you've got to have a couple cards up your sleeve. Show your hand.
I do. So for a marinade, there are four key elements to a good marinade. You need a good acid, fat, salt, and flavor. And of course, there's time. So you can call it 4.5 or 5, however you want to count. Depends on where you're from. So from Lowell, we call it 5.
Say those again, Andy, so people can write them down in the dust on their dash.
Acid, fat, salt, flavors, and time.
And you're not talking about the spice time. You're talking about the element.
Correct, okay. The element of time. A good marinade, you need about, you can go as low as 4 hours up to 12 hours. I don't go more than 12 hours just because if you get too much acid in there, it can make your meat tough.
Well, and that's what I was saying in the last segment when Randy and I were talking about the chimichurri is it depends on the protein you're doing, what percentage of your marinade is acidic, yep, and at what temperature you're on and how much time you have, because sometimes
correct,
we just exactly don't have the time.
Correct, yep. So you can get the good flavors in about 3 to 4 hours. You can have a good marinade. You really want to make sure you tenderize your, if you're using beef, a steak, tenderize your meat with a fork, which means like piercing the meat. So you take your fork and just poke it in the meat, and then you add your marinade on top. You want a 3-to-1 ratio for oil or fat to acid. So what I mean is if you have 1 cup of acid, apple cider vinegar, and oil, or your fat would be 3 cups. So if you have too much acid, then it will not work out well, your marinade. And then I always put in fresh herbs, so like fresh rosemary or thyme into my marinade for like a steak. And then your salt, I use kosher salt. I feel like that's the best salt out there for you for marinating the steak.
Better than sea salt?
You can use sea salt too. I could use that as well, but most people have kosher salt in their cupboard.
And most people have kosher salt on their recipes, I've noticed. And
correct,
I use sea salt. Yep. So I'm always, you can have so many scientific conversations about salt and marinating and pre-salting and all that about your meat that it can drive you crazy.
Exactly.
So what are your thoughts on yogurt?
I love it. Yogurt is a great acid. I actually made a tandoori chicken, and I marinated it in a Greek yogurt.
Sure.
And it turned out wonderful. It was so tender. I used chicken, so we did a chicken tandoori. So I took the yogurt, and then I took the, like, I toasted cumin. So I put it in a saute pan, toasted it, get that flavors in, and then I added a little chili powder, turmeric, ginger.
So you toasted your cumin?
Yeah, so it adds another layer of flavor.
How do you do that?
There's natural oils in the seasonings when you buy them in the store.
Right.
So if you add it to a pan just to heat them up a little bit, you get more flavor in that way.
But I've only seen cumin that's powdered or ground.
Correct, and that's what you use.
Oh. Hmm.
So you add it to the saute pan. You don't add any oil or anything like that. You add your, like, teaspoon or tablespoon of cumin, whatever, however your ratio is for your recipe, and you just lightly toast it, and you can smell it.
Oh.
And then you add that to your marinade or whatever you're using it for.
So what does that do to the flavor of the cumin?
It just adds more. It opens up the oils in the spice.
Huh.
So there are natural oils in the spices like cumin, chili powder, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, those kind. It has natural oils in there. So then it just bursts it open.
Awesome.
So, Andy, this is heady stuff. I mean, we're talking the chemistry of cooking, which is what a marinade is.
Right.
Let's bring this back. What I'd like to do is everybody that listens to us at some point during each week, it seems, they're using skinless, boneless chicken breasts.
Okay.
And they're hard to make juicy. They're hard to make flavorful. So I guess what I'd like to do is, can you talk about a marinade that you would make and what might be in it, and then what you would do to a chicken breast with a particular marinade? So marry the marinade to the chicken, if you would, please.
Yep. Okay. So I would take 1 cup of apple cider vinegar, 3 cups of olive oil, 2 sprigs of fresh thyme, 1 sprig of fresh rosemary, fresh garlic. I would take 3 to 4 cloves of fresh garlic, chop that up, and then kosher salt. I would use about a teaspoon of kosher salt, and then I would combine all those ingredients. So you would
what type of vinegar?
Apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
You would have to take the fresh thyme off the sprig, and the same with the rosemary. So when you buy it in the store, you have a big stalk in a way. You take that off. You go against, like, the stick itself so it comes off easily.
Start at the top and slide your hand down to the bottom.
Exactly.
And it'll all pop off there. Yep.
Correct. Yep.
And then your hand smells really good.
It does. It really does.
I wonder if that's where Rosie Palm came from.
Huh. You would chop all that together. You would have your minced garlic, add it to your oil and your apple cider vinegar, and then you would pour that over your chicken breast, and then you would wrap it in plastic wrap, put it in a container, wrap it in plastic wrap, refrigerate it for 3 to 4 hours. And then when you're ready to grill, I take it out at room temperature for about a half hour before I grill it. You want to take some of the marinade off, because if you have too much oil when you go to a hot grill, you're going to create a big flame and you might need to get a fire extinguisher. So you don't want too much oil on that grill or you'll burn it.
So you're going to go on really low heat.
Yes, I would go low heat.
I would.
Low and slow.
Now, when I do chicken breasts like that, because of the nature of our processed food here, you get the same teardrop breast from no matter who you get your meat from.
Yep.
I tend to want to open that up a little bit, and I find a small, pointy, flat part on the end, and I cut that off. And
yep.
Try and end up with a bigger chunk on the other end. And I grill them actually in 2 different timing sessions.
That would be good. You know how to get a perfect diamond on your chicken breast?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
No, tell me.
Okay. So what you would do is you take your point. So if you have your chicken breast and you the long end towards the bottom, you want to put that at 5 o'clock. So if look at a clock and you put it more at 5 o'clock and after about 3 to 4 minutes, you flip it to 7 o'clock. And then you would flip it over to the other side and do 5 and 7. You have a perfect diamond.
Well, it's all
you
about timing, isn't
woman
it?
Happy. You know, girls love their diamonds, right?
Right, right.
Now, yeah. I just gave you a pointer. Now you need to go make that for Mo.
Oh, you've been listening to the Dissel Cones.
No, but I'm just saying, though, you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your palate third. I mean,
exactly.
It's got to look good, man. It's got to look good.
You got to make it look good.
Right. I know, yeah. Barbecue Bob, when you cook in volume, sometimes you can't do that. But if you're doing that little one-off.
Oh, no, I understand that. I just simply mutilate those chicken breasts so I don't have a point on mine when I'm done. Well, and you could actually do that same recipe with a skin-on, bone-on breast as well, which
yes,
I absolutely prefer over the skinless, boneless Costco version.
Yeah. But everybody has them. You know, I mean, that's one of the questions that you get when you talk to anybody about the grill is like, man, my chicken dries out every time I try to grill it. And, you know, here's an answer.
You go up to Sobey and get some of those Amish chicken breasts he's got.
Yeah. Bring your truck because they're huge.
That chicken, they had to put it down with an M16.
Hey, Andy, are you super busy this morning or can you stick by for the next segment?
I can stick by.
All right, man. We're going to put you on hold because Conrad's waving his hands at me. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the final segment here. And we got Chef Andy to hang over. Well, maybe he's got a hangover, but I hope not. But
No hangover.
All right. Well, that's cool. So, Bob, take it away.
Well, I'm just hanging out here with Randy and Andy at the Grilling Guy Show. Listen, Andy, I wanted to talk about this marinade I found. I'm actually making it tonight for myself because I'm home alone. and this is one my wife would not eat because it has harissa, a whole bunch of it, and I love harissa. And if you don't know what that is, it's a Moroccan flavoring. It's just beautiful. But I'm going to actually use it for chicken breasts, even though the recipe I found shows it for lamb or beef kebabs. I just want to marinate chicken breasts in it because I think it'll be a sight for sore eyes. So I sent you a copy of that. What do you think of that marinade?
I love it. It's simple. And again, when I do my cooking, I don't put more than five to six ingredients in my.
Isn't
what you have here is perfect.
Isn't the apple pie spice cool?
It is cool.
That really grabbed me.
So
it's a great blend.
Yeah.
So where do you get that? I have never. I'm not a baker.
McCormick's.
Okay. Yep. They have an apple pie spice.
McCormick's has everything, man.
Sure.
They built the spice world.
Yep.
They sailed the seas 200 years ago and set up spice mills.
So go for it. Let's talk about the recipe.
That's what we're doing.
What's in it?
So it is Greek yogurt, lemon juice, lime EVO, and then I buy this, and you can buy it in a lot of places, but it's a small jar of harissa paste. And do you happen to know what peppers they use in that?
No, I don't. Tell me about it.
I don't either. It's they're obviously red. And they're hot, and it's just a really unique flavor. And that's the cool thing about peppers. And I believe I learned a long time ago that all peppers came from South America originally. But anyway, there's like 150 different peppers. And the one they're using for that has a flavor that is so unique and so cool. And like I'm thinking habanero, it has its own profile too. That's just different. This is something like that. But then you're going to put in some cumin And I'm thinking I might want to toast that cumin. And then a little
a great idea,
apple pie spice.
I would toast your cumin for sure. You would add another layer of flavor, and I think you'd be happy with it. I can't wait to hear about it tonight.
Yeah, I've never tried that. That is awesome. And then some kosher salt and some skinless, boneless chicken breasts. And I'm going to grill those. So I'll try your 5 and 7. I'll leave the tail on one.
I want to see that grill mark tonight, too. Take a picture. Go live with it. I want to make sure you did it right.
And if you see it, if you see an elegant array of, you know, linen and china and everything and just one plate, that'll be me.
Yeah. That's okay. You got to love yourself, right?
Yes.
Hey, Andy, I'm switching gears here. Easter's coming around the corner for us, and some people cook lamb. And there's a whole bunch of our listeners that are afraid of it, and they think it's going to be strong. They don't know how to, you know, they don't like the flavor of the fat. And can you give us some tips on lamb?
Yeah, to kind of take away that gamey flavor of lamb, I would do like a Greek yogurt or lemon juice. It helps to stabilize that flavor with that Greek yogurt. If you marinate that for 8 to 12 hours, you would take away that gamey flavor. And I think more listeners would give it a try at least once. I would do a lamb chop. I just like the cut of lamb chops. You could do a leg of lamb if you want. That would be a longer process of more slow and low for that. It would take, you want that to be more fork tender when you're cooking that as well. But lamb chops would be the go-to for that one. Give it a try.
And you, and a lamb chop, you're grilling that on a medium to high heat quickly, and you're going to serve it medium to medium rare, right?
Correct. Exactly. Yep.
Yep. So those are, and you can go over to Sobeys this time of year. He's got lamb chops in the counter. You know, they got the little lollipop ones that come off a rack of lamb, and then there's the ones that they cut into a little bit thicker chop. That's what we're talking about, is that thicker one maybe. Than just a the rack of lamb. So, but anyway, that's cool. Bob, you had one more marinade on here, a sweet Italian marinade. What are your thoughts on that?
Andy, have you ever known a sweet Italian?
Oh, I have.
Most of them are spicy.
This one I found on a wonderful site online, and it was just I altered it to bring Old World Olive Company's products into this. But it's basically their rosé white balsamic and the garlic EVO with some dried oregano, some sea salt, chopped roasted red pepper, love roasted red pepper, and fresh basil with shallots. And this, again, they were showing it for chicken breasts or pork tenderloin. And I think I might try that one on some pork tenderloin because I'm not big on Italian marinades with chicken. I don't know. Tried it enough times. And pork tenderloin always needs help, in my opinion. It's one of those meats that doesn't impress me or thrill me. Jop, do you
it's
like
it? It's not loaded with flavor because it's a tenderloin and it's not marbled.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's pure muscle meat, and it's very rarely marbled. There's a fat cap on it usually, but that's it. And I think that's
why
it needs
flavor. I'm
talking
about a tenderloin.
Oh, okay. All right, so there is no fat cap on a tenderloin, but it's still muscle meat.
It's kind of a gross meat.
Yeah, but anyway.
I have a problem with
Andy,
that.
Andy, I got one more for you because it seems like every restaurant I go to that's up on a middle to upper scale has Brussels sprouts on their menu as either an appetizer or a side.
Yep.
My wife made some, and it was close, but it wasn't there. So as far as
what'd she do?
The flavor, I wasn't watching, but when she served them, it was a B to B plus. They weren't A. They weren't, the flavor wasn't there, because what she did is she took the balsamic and reduction and squirted it on there after they were cooked, kind of like a sauce.
Yeah.
But how do we get them crispy? Are they deep fried? Are they pan fried? Are they oven baked? What is the method for this Brussels sprouts, because I feel like a lot of people try it and don't hit it.
Can I ask you briefly, were they not cooked enough?
No.
Because that's very often the case, but that makes them less than...
But the outside leaves were burnt. Oh. I mean, they were black.
So her temperature was too high.
I don't know, but I'm asking Andy. And just for the recipe and the technique, please.
So there's a couple of different ways. You can fry them, deep fry them, flash fry them. That would give you that texture that you're looking for to make it an A. Or you can do, like, in a pan sear as well. So you would cut the Brussels sprout in half lengthwise, so you're going to straight down. And a minute, take them
we
out.
We lost you for a second there.
Cut it in half and then go from there.
So you can cut them in half, and then after that you can get a little stock pot going with water, salted water. You can add them in the Brussels sprouts after they're cut into the pot of water and boil them for like a minute. Take them out and then drain them and then add them to a pan, a cast iron pan, and like add a little oil and then add them into that. And then sear, cook them that way. You only want to cook them for like 3 to 4 minutes if you're going more healthy.
Which is where we're going for everybody. Yeah. And the boiling part is what she missed on that one.
Yeah, so it cooks it more evenly, because if you just cut it in half and then cook it, it doesn't cook evenly. And then you're having some crispy parts like on the outside, and then it's not cooked all the way in the middle and everything like that. So I would parboil them.
You know, at the Flat River Grill in Lowell?
Yep.
Have you ever had theirs?
No, I have not.
I think they're deep frying them. Probably the same method.
I think they are deep frying them out there.
They're awesome. Because
they use a sweet chili after they're cooked.
Oh, nice.
And then you leave that in the pan to get it a little sticky?
You would do it at the end, because if you add it too soon, then your Brussels sprouts are going to stick to the pan, and then it won't cook evenly. So after you cook for like 3 to 4 minutes, your Brussels sprouts, throw them in a bowl, and then add your maypoy or your sweet chili sauce in, toss it, and then serve it.
Hey, buddy, thanks for joining us. We're out of time. Chef Andy Schultz, Four Chefs Catering. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out there, fire up a grill, and make it a great week. We'll see you.